This is Jay Sekulow, Biden's agenda, Iran first at Israel's expense.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We've got a lot to discuss today. Mike Pompeo, our senior counsel, and, of course, former Secretary of State, is going to be joining us in the third segment. We're going to discuss both Iran and Cuba. And there's a similarity, and I want to talk about that right at the top of the broadcast. And the similarity is the way in which the administration is responding to it. You remember in 2009, the Green Revolution in Iran, millions of students took to the streets of Iran to overthrow the Ayatollahs. And it could have happened. It happened in other parts of, it's called the Arab Spring. It happened in other parts of the world. But the Obama administration, by doing nothing, encouraged a stand down. In other words, we were not doing anything to encourage the protesters or a desire for democracy. Cuba has tens of thousands of people in the streets right now. And the response from the White House is tepid at best. Now, Logan said this on radio yesterday, and it's very true. Cuba is 90 miles from Miami, a 26-minute flight. You can get there by boat in a couple of hours. I mean, it is our neighbor. Yet we're doing little to nothing to protect the protesters, to encourage democracy. And some on the left have even praised these regimes, which is ironic indeed. Socialism, communism has not served mankind well. But yet the desire seems to still be there. You talked about that yesterday, Logan. What was the response from those that were listening to the broadcast? I know we got a lot of comments.
Yeah, a lot of comments and calls came in to share their thoughts and views. But a lot of people just need to be educated on what's happening also. I think that's a big part of this. It's not necessarily having a full grasp of what's going on, especially when there's so much happening within our own country. And these topics don't necessarily make the top headlines. As we see this morning, it's all Jeff Bezos going to space. It's all, you know, which is great. Good. You know, good. No problem with it. And there's it's positive things happening in the world and or positive things happening in our country. But I think people have to be educated on what's going on and to not let things just get out of a news cycle. So with Cuba, obviously last week was a big deal. This week, barely any coverage. Obviously things have changed. Obviously maybe it's not as strong of an uprising there. Sorry, I spilled my water while I was sitting here. But there are things still happening. We need to make sure we keep up with it. And that's why we have on guests yesterday, Rick Grenell, and later on Mike Pompeo, to bring people on, part of our team, to keep these things going. That's why you watch this show and you're a part of it.
Yeah, I'm encouraged by this. I'm encouraged by the people in these countries that are protesting. I am not encouraged by our government's response to those protests. Iran, it is Iran first. The United States is, you know, we're acting as if Iran is a superpower. And they've called off negotiations with the United States pending their installation of their new, even more radical president. So we're going to get into that coming up. We're going to take your comments about it. But this is a serious issue. And for the ACLJ, it's serious too. And Than, I don't know how we're doing time-wise here, but Than, what's the reaction in Washington on Cuba?
Yeah, just about a minute left, Jay. But I would tell you, I think some of the strongest reactions are coming from elected officials who are actually Cuban Americans. I mean, I would quote you, Congressman Maria Salazar, who said, "We see the American flag waving on the streets of Havana because they yearn for what we have, freedom. I know this well because I am the daughter of political refugees who fled the evil Castro regime." Jay, I'd like to see that tone coming from down the street at the White House.
Yeah. You're 100% right. Well, we're in a matching challenge. I'm going to toss it over to Logan. We encourage you to participate.
That's right. Participate in the matching challenge. Be a part of it right now and today. Go to ACLJ.org. Every donation you make is doubled. So it's $10 or someone on the other end that's given $10 to match it. So that means effectively your donation is doubled in value. So we appreciate that for the month of July. Do it right now at ACLJ.org. You can also make sure you follow us on all social medias. Be a part of what we do here. Share this broadcast. Click the thumbs up and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're listening on radio, what I would encourage you to do, even if you're not a listener to radio, give us a call right now. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on Sekulow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Seculo, we are talking about a few different topics, mainly here about what's going on in Iran. We're going to be joined in the next segment by Mike Pompeo. My dad, Jay Seculo, is joining us remotely. We also have Wes Smith here and Will Haynes in studio. So let's continue this discussion going on. If you want to give us a call, I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. And I believe they have been also in D.C. So we have a whole panel of people. I'll go to Dad first and just say, where do you think people should start to learn, start to be educated on what's going on?
I think as it relates to Iran, we have to look at the fact that a hardline administration is put in power. They call it elections, but it's not elections. The Ayatollah picks these individuals, and they're puppets of the Ayatollah. And this idea that we're going to negotiate in good faith, Mike Pompeo calls Iran the senior partner in this project, I think it's even more than that. I mean, it's America acting, as I said earlier, as if Iran is some kind of superpower. So I think we have to realize that what we have to do at the American Center for Law and Justice and our international affiliates is recognize the harm that could come into place when the Iranians, if there is ever this deal struck, and that is going to be that you will get a nuclear Iran, which is very dangerous for Israel, but very dangerous for the entire region and dangerous for the United States and brings instability. Remember, Iran, and Wes Smith could address this, is the largest exporter of terrorism in the world. We did a movie on that a decade ago, and it's proved to be more true now than it even was then. But Wes, they are the exporters of terrorism, and the U.S. policy is not helping that diminish.
No, I mean, they are terrorism writ large. And one of the things that I find alarming about the Biden administration's response in a number of areas is that they seem to be very soft and naive on the whole issue of terrorism. For example, the idea that he still wants to close down Guantanamo Bay, released a prisoner yesterday, one of the terrorists who was responsible for plotting attacks on America. Our southern border is porous. We have had people cross the border that we caught. We don't know how many we did not catch, who are on the terrorist watch list, and yet the Biden administration seems totally nonplussed by that. In March, he took the Houthi rebels off the terrorism list. They've been on there for a long time. They were on the terrorism list under President Obama as well as President Trump, but he took them off of that. And then you get to Iran. There's this delusional idea, I think, by President Biden and his team that somehow if we will lift sanctions and we will help, quote unquote, Iran, that they will become more like us and that they're going to be good partners. And that is not only naive, Jay, that is dangerously naive.
No, I was going to say that, Logan, that the problem with all this, as Wes is exactly right, is the naivete of the And this is the same people. Remember this. This is the Obama team. They just have been promoted now from the agencies to the White House. But it's the same teams leading the charge on all this. It's the same teams that are desiring this impact, which is this supposed nuclear deal, which does nothing but give Iran a pathway to a nuclear weapon. So that's the problem with all of it. And it's the same problem of messaging that we have in the situation in Cuba. Tens of thousands of people in the streets in Cuba, and the Biden administration is basically tepid at best, silent at worst. So we don't know where to pick. I mean, this administration does not know where to pick its allies. That's the problem. And that, I think, is creating a lot of problems.
I think there's mixed feelings probably amongst the administration. There's people probably, it's just like the situation where you have Joe Biden coming out and saying, we know communism bad, socialism not much better. But then you have people in his own party and probably within his own staff and White House that don't feel that way. So there's probably a old school and a sadly more progressive new school that probably have an internal battle on where they go. I mean, if you look at the policies of the Obama administration, you can see a lot of it's just being rolled over into this administration. That's not necessarily where their party is. Their party isn't where they were with Obama just, 6 years ago. A lot has progressed. A lot has changed. Obviously, the world has changed. And these situations, these issues, Iran, Cuba, human rights in general are broadcast in a completely different way. And we have to make sure that there hopefully is a unified voice from at least our side of what we should be doing.
No, I think that's right. And I think one of the things that we got to point out, and Will is our director of our broadcast, but is also on air with us today. And it's interesting to me, Will, that the media has been so pretty silent on Cuba. It's shocking to me. I mean, you've got basically a potential revolution taking place there, and it's silence. And that's because the hard left actually supports these regimes. That's what's so scary about all this.
Well, and the concern is in what we saw with the Green Revolution is when it wasn't fully supported and the world didn't come alongside of the protesters in the street, what you ended up with is a revolution that fizzled out and a stronger Iranian regime. So now you look at what's going on in Cuba and we're wondering, is this replaying? Is it history repeating itself? Same people in the administration of the Obama administration, now in the Biden administration, and the same media players as well. Are we going to see what is now, for the first time in 60 years, the people of Cuba standing up in the streets demanding freedom? Are they going to end up falling apart because of lack of organization or lack of support internationally? And then the regime in Cuba actually benefiting from a failed revolution in their streets?
Well, that's the great fear. It's exactly what happened in Iran. That's why we're drawing the parallel in this broadcast. And one of the things we do with the ACLJ on our policy side, which is what we're talking about today, is look at the ramifications and repercussions of how issues interplay. And you're exactly right. The concern has to be that if the regime in Cuba survives, after you have tens of thousands of people in the street, and by the way, they would not survive if the United States supported the efforts of the people of Cuba. Let's be clear. There's no way that if the United States properly, legally, with under international law, supported the efforts of the people in Cuba, that the regime would survive. Having said that, you have to have the willingness to take the risk, the willingness to take the challenge, the willingness to engage the enemy, so to speak. And they are the enemy. And they're an enemy that's 90 miles off of our border. So that's the problem with all this. And it was the same thing that happened with Iran when that revolution failed because President Obama did nothing to support it. In fact, to the contrary, when they did nothing to support it and really hurt those millions of students on the street, millions of students in Tehran were on the streets, and then the Ayatollah's grips become stronger. So are we going to support? We should be exporting something. It's called freedom and liberty, which we believe is a God-given inalienable right. And that's what we should be exporting as the United States then. And I'm concerned that there are some so hard left in Congress right now that they actually support, I'm not saying they're going to support the Ayatollah, but they support these Cuban regimes.
Yeah, you're correct to be concerned. I think that same mentality exists in the White House as well. Look, in Iran, there's no doubt there was a missed moment. There was a missed opportunity in time. And I think that is that exists in Cuba as well. I mean, look, I would tell you two things, Jay. First of all, we see lots of agitating on the left for ideas of communism and socialism. Well, I think they would do well to look at the people who are actually living under these regimes to see how they work. Those are the people that are trying to escape them. And Jay, on the policy point, I was really concerned this week when the Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, he finally found a group of people that he doesn't want to let into the country. It's the Cuban refugees who are coming by boat. And look, Jay, of course, rule of law still applies there. But if there is one group that would have a legitimate claim to asylum, that would be them. And yet that was the single group that the secretary decided to single out and say, we're going to turn you back.
So we're letting illegal aliens come in through our southern border with basically no interference. And we're letting people that actually have legitimate asylum issues and are fleeing regimes that not only suppress but kill their people that disagree with them. And we're not supporting those people. We're not letting them in. By the way, that's happened before in our history, Republican and Democrat, I have to say. Republicans have been better about it, but there have been moments too. But I think what we have to be clear here is, what is the message we are trying to send out, Wes, as the United States? It should be, if we're going to export something, it should be, you know, you're not going to be able to repeat the our constitutional Republican form of government everywhere in the world. But freedom and liberty and fundamental human rights, what the United States should be exporting.
Yeah, and that is our tradition. That is our history. That's our past practice. When things like this happen, and face it, opportunities like this don't come along very often. But when they do, America has been and needs to be now the unequivocal champion of freedom. We need to have unequivocal support of the demonstrators in Cuba. There are things we can do, and it starts with us really giving them support, unlike what we did with the demonstrators in Iran. We can also use Guantanamo Bay, which is on the island of Cuba, to bolster their internet, which the Cuban regime has now cut off in order to stop communication among the people longing for freedom. And there are other things we can do practically. We can use our intelligence services to covertly support the people there in Cuba. Jay, I was moved as I watched the demonstrators over the last few days. They're not down there, you know, protesting about COVID vaccines or things like that, or the embargo the U.S. has on them. They were holding American flags and they were crying freedom, freedom over and over again. That should move everyone in the administration to champion their cause.
And Logan, that's why we do this broadcast.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to hear from you right now. If you want to give us a call, tell us about what you think about how we can help, like my dad said, export that freedom to some of these other countries that need it in time, or they need the opportunity. Give us a call right now. Or what's your thoughts in general on this? Should we even get involved? 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Of course, your donations also to the ACLJ are doubled for the month of July. So if you give during July, $10 becomes $20, and so on. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo, but my dad is joining us remotely right now, Jay Seculo. We also have Wes Smith here. We have Will Haynes. We also have Than Bennett in D.C. So we've got a full panel, and we've got some calls coming in. If you want to be part of that conversation, 1-800-684-3110. We are joined now by one of our senior counsels here at the ACLJ, and you know him as well, Mike Pompeo, who is joining us live right now. We're talking about, you currently have a new piece, right, Will, that's available on aclj.org?
That's right. You have a new article up, "The American People Must Stand with the People of Cuba as They Demand Freedom." And thus far, we have seen a tepid at best support from the administration for the Cuban protesters. But what should the American response be to the situation in Cuba?
Well, your point's well taken. I think tepid is actually pretty generous. It hasn't really risen to any significant level of attention. The uprisings in Cuba, the Cuban people's demands for freedom should be met with real American action. There are half a dozen things we could do. When I was the CIA director and Secretary of State, we knew how to turn on the internet in places like Iran and North Korea so we could help them communicate with each other. We could do that very easily 9 miles off of our shore. We could conduct exercises in international waterways around making sure they knew that American power was not far offshore. This would help the Cuban people regain courage and strength when they're being oppressed in the ways that we know surely the regime is doing today inside of Cuba. We could begin to build out a set of diplomatic strategies that would encourage the Cuban leadership to say, your time has come, it's time to leave. We'll make sure you get safe exit, but we'll get you to a place where the Cuban people could have the freedom they so richly deserved. And then we should be relentless at talking about communism and its evil and all the horrors it has inflicted upon the Cuban people. And we should be doing that not only to the American audiences, but to audiences all across the world, building a coalition to support freedom for these people who want nothing more than to live their lives, practice their faith, and live outside of the tyranny that the Castro follow-on flunkies are delivering to them today.
Secretary Pompeo, we're going to reconnect with you real quick. We're just having some sound difficulties. And, Will, this is something that we've talked about, and we'll get you back on in just a second here. But we've talked about this, that new blog that's available on aclj.org. I do want to encourage everyone, if you haven't spent time on our website, to do that. There's not just, you know, we promote it to go and donate support and keep us going, keep the shows going, keep everything happening. But more importantly, there is great content that's provided by our team, including Secretary Mike Pompeo. And it's a great experience to go and see all. It's a brand new website. Also, for a lot of you are getting our brand new website, so you need to take a look at that, aclj.org. Dad?
You know, one of the things I want to encourage people also is that today is a really heavy focus for us on policy issues. And, you know, you think of us as the courtroom people, and of course we do a lot of that in the legislative affairs, but you've got to deal with policy. And what Secretary Pompeo was discussing, what we were discussing earlier, is what is the American policy, the United States policy going to be as it relates to either Iran, which we're unfortunately seeing that unfold, or Cuba, which, as the Secretary just said, well, there are a lot of things the United States can do, like getting the internet back on, not complicated for our CIA, supporting those on the streets, giving diplomatic measures so that the Cuban leadership understands that there is no option other than freedom and liberty. So that's the one thing. I wanted to go back on that, Mike, with you, because there, you know, we always talk about Iran as the great exporter of terrorism. The United States tries to export freedom and liberty, but this is 90 miles away from our border. We have this situation, and what are the next best plans that should be put in place as it relates to Cuba?
So, Jay, your point's very well taken. We made very clear to the regime that we would impose enormous costs on them. We declared them a state-sponsored terror, something I did as Secretary of State. They are exporting terror in the same way the Iranians are. They're a narco-terrorist state as well. They are transmitting drugs and transshipping drugs all across the Caribbean. We have real costs that we can impose on the Cuban leadership, but we can give them an escape hatch, and we have to we have to make absolutely clear, this game is over. After all these years after the revolution, the game is over. The country is going to move to freedom, and the United States is going to impose enormous costs on them. Not go to baseball games, not have hot dogs with them, but impose enormous costs on them till the time they get that right.
So what is the theory? I mean, you were running the CIA. You were the Secretary of State. What is the possible thought process that the Biden administration can be doing right now as they implement this non-engagement strategy, this is no-comment strategy with regard to Cuba? What is it they're thinking could happen here that would be beneficial to the Cuban people or the United States by doing nothing?
Jay, it's been their long-held view, the Biden-Obama view, that if you sell them stuff, it's the European view as well, if you sell them stuff, that'll get to the people, their lives will get better, and then the country will somehow magically become free. It is foolish. It is dangerous. It's bad for the Cuban people. It's bad for the region and our national security as well. This is produced, as you said, this is just less than 100 miles off our shore. The Russians are operating there. All the bad guys are operating there. We have to get this right. It is not as hard as they describe. Their logic somehow suggests, much like with Iran and China, that if you sell them some trinkets or give them some money, then magically things will get better. It is foolish.
Let me ask you this. The Obama administration abandoned the Green Revolution when you had millions of Iranian students in the streets trying to overthrow the Ayatollahs. It was during the Arab Spring, and it could have happened. But the Obama administration stood silent. You have the same parallel taking place right now as it relates to Cuba. You've got this mass revolution on the streets, or at least mass protests, not the numbers that you had in Cuba because the population is not the size, but proportionality probably very similar. Yet nothing is happening. And what is the message that we're sending globally to our allies or to those that are seeking freedom and liberty within tyrannical regimes when we do nothing?
I so wish this had happened in Cuba a year ago when President Trump and I were running American foreign policy. We understood that the world was watching how America react when freedom-loving people simply demand to get their lives back. And your point's well taken. I promise you that freedom fighters in parts of the country, parts of the world can see this, and they are discouraged from doing precisely what the Cuban people did because the American leadership wouldn't rally alongside them.
Well, you know, I appreciate your work when you were the CIA director and, of course, the Secretary of State. And we're just thrilled that you're a senior counsel with the ACLJ, giving us your insight. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, thanks for being with us. Thanks for the insight. Logan, this, again, is another reason why supporting the work of the ACLJ, as today we talk about policy, and we're able to broadcast this policy on social media platforms, on websites, of course, on radio stations around the country, on satellite radio, anybody in the world can get this broadcast, and it's because people are standing with the ACLJ, and especially during our Matching Challenge Month.
Yeah, anywhere around the world, if your country allows the internet. So that is at ACLJ.org, as you said. That's one of the things we're fighting for, ACLJ.org. You can go there. Not only, you said, can you donate, because right now it's a matching challenge, as we continue the matching challenge for the month of July. However, like I said, you need to go there and see the other options that we have, great other videos that come out of there. Great videos on our YouTube channel. We are providing a great amount of content as well as legal action that we're taking for you and for Americans. And also, if you need legal help, go to ACLJ.org. If there's something that's within our wheelhouse, and you'll find out all that information on our website. There's just a Get Help, Get Legal Help button. Click it, fill out a form. You'll be connected with an attorney, and someone will get with you. And that is free of charge. And that's why the donations help support that. Keep the staff hired, keep lawyers working, keep our production team going. Because all of this is provided for you at absolutely no cost. But we do need your support. And that's at aclj.org/donate to give a donation directly. Or I'd also encourage you to give us a call if you want to be on the air.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
I'm talking about freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulo.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the second half of the broadcast. If you're just picking up with us, let us give you a little bit of a recap of what's happened. We just had on our senior counsel, former Secretary of State and Director of the CIA, Mike Pompeo, talking about both Iran and Cuba. And there is similarity. And we're talking about this from a policy perspective today. And the reason I think it's important for you to understand why that is an issue for us is, in addition to going to court, in addition to dealing with legislation, we issue policy position papers to members of Congress, to others. And I'm going to go to Tham Benin on this because people, I was texting you last night on a piece of legislation where I was getting some questions from reporters. And what was interesting to me is that people need to understand that our policy positions that we advocate, we don't advocate them just over the airways. We advocate them directly to members that vote on various bills or take policy positions.
Yeah, face-to-face, Jay, from our staff to the membership, from you to the members to the senators, also to the staff people who are preparing recommendations for those who cast the votes. And, Jay, I mean, I think about it on this particular day. There are policy questions on the table for Congress right now on both of these issues that we're talking about. I mean, on Iran, you just had today a government spokesman for the Iranian regime admit that it is off the table for them restricting nuclear capacity. Well, wasn't that the very basis by which the United States was supposed to be engaging in a deal with them? So when we go to members of Congress, we remind them that that was what the administration told them. And Jay, the second piece of that is we don't just say this is the view of the ACLJ or this is our view. We say this is the view of the people who put you into office. And on the issue that you and I were discussing last night, there were literally thousands of members inside that state of that particular senator who wanted to make their voice heard. We were able to make that connection and show them that it was actually his voters that wanted him to take this position.
You know, and at the same time that we're dealing with these issues of policy and of course, international issues and national diplomacy, we're also, I looked at our contacts came in yesterday. Logan, you did too. And there are literally dozens every day of people calling in for legal assistance. Situations like, I'll give you an example. A couple was having their Bible study in their house from their church on a Friday night. They get cited. No Bible studies allowed. You can have a football party, you can have a Super Bowl party, but you can't have a Bible study. And then I could go on and on. And while those seemed, they're not the issue of the magnitude of Iran or Cuba, they are big issues for freedom and liberty here in the United States. And those get handled every day. You don't hear about it a lot. Maybe we need to be talking about that some more. You've been saying that. But that's every single day. So whether it's dealing with an issue as complicated as Iran and Cuba or a couple in Florida trying to have their Bible study in their home, the ACLJ is there.
Yeah, I think it's very important for us to continue to have those conversations, continually to represent people. And we do that each and every day, again, even if you don't hear about it. And you're right. I think it is something we need to be bringing up more and talking about more when there are big global issues. Obviously, we want to make sure that you're well informed, you understand how you can get involved. And all those things are very important to the work of the ACLJ, but we're also working on a very granular level, working on a very localized level for a lot of people. There's lawyers you know, there's lawyers you don't know, hundreds of people who are out there in the field working for you. That's at ACLJ.org. You can find out, you can read all out there. If you don't know them, you can see a lot of them right for the website. So you can find that, watch and listen to their blogs and read everything, their content they're putting out. You can find all the content on social media as well. But we're going to go to that. We're also going to be taking calls in the next segment of the broadcast. So if you want to be, if you have one of those legal issues, yeah, well, we will take you, give you general ideas, general thoughts on the air. And if we need to escalate that, you'll get personally associated to correct it to a lawyer. And we can do that right now. If you have a question or comment, if it's related to the work we do here, I'd love to hear from you. We can keep it generic, whatever it is, 1-800-684-3110. Even though I know tomorrow we're going to talk about even some progress we've had on the school choice issue and what's going on. The Supreme Court seems to have taken up a new case involving school choice. We're going to get to that coming up tomorrow on the show. Again, a very localized, local level that affects you directly. So while the world affairs should always be something you're well aware of, we will always be taking care of you, the ACLJ supporter and the Sekulo listener. Again, give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. For those on hold, we're going to get to you in the next segment. So 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secular. We're going to go straight to the phone calls. If you want to have your voice heard on the air, 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to take some comments from Facebook. A lot of people are calling in. A lot of people are questioning what they can do to help, and I think that's what one of the calls we got coming in from Colleen in New York on line three. Colleen, welcome.
Hi, Colleen.
Hello. First of all, thank you for all that you do and representing our voice.
No, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support.
Yes. So I'm calling about the Cuban crisis.
Yes, go ahead.
They want to be free. How can I, as a free American, help them?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are asking that, is what can we do to actually support you? We can bring awareness, talk about it, encourage the current demonstrations that are happening. And a lot of people are asking, what can they do when even they see that asylum is being kind of denied for a lot of Cuban refugees?
Well, there's one.
So what can we do?
Well, I think this is a great question, and you just hit it. We have, and Fan is following up on this, but asylum is being denied those coming over to from Cuba right now, today. The United States is denying asylum to people fleeing communist Cuba today. So I'm going to go to Wes on this, because from a military, former colonel in the United States Army, but also from a policy standpoint, we have to address this policy, and one thing we can do affirmatively is to immediately communicate with the White House, and it may be that we draft a letter to the White House, but certainly to members of Congress, to say this policy has to change.
Yeah, the American people need to stand up and with one full voice bring this issue to the forefront and let the White House and our representatives in Congress know this is completely unacceptable. It's one thing to have the chaos and the disorder that we do on the southern border with people coming across literally by the thousands. It will be over a million people by the end of the fiscal year, September 30th. And yet these are people that are 90 miles away under an oppressive regime who simply long for freedom. They are our cousins in many ways when it comes to their longing for freedom and being so close to us. So, yeah, the American people need to let our representatives know this has to stop. It has to stop now.
So let me go to Than, Logan, if I can, on this. Because, Than, let's talk practical, because this was the question is what can we do? And we need to engage. So what is the next best thing we can do? What is the best thing we can do at this point with Congress?
Yeah, it really is on that asylum point. That's why we've come back to it multiple times, Jay. This is exactly why we have asylum laws in the United States. It's why the ACLJ and the ECLJ have engaged on asylum cases in the past. Jay, in order to get asylum in the United States, and I think it's important for Colleen to understand this, someone coming to the United States has to be able to demonstrate that they have credible fear for their lives or for their well-being. Jay, that is the exact definition of the people who are fleeing Cuba right now. Now, one of the things you need to do to have an effective asylum process is to have operational control of the border, and that goes to Wes's point. But this is why what Secretary Mayorkas said to the Cuban refugees, that if you arrive in a boat, you will be immediately returned, is exactly wrong, Jay. What he should be saying is you will be allowed to claim asylum, and you will go through the process. So what are we going to do? We're going to communicate to Congress and to the White House what the current law is. Jay, we don't need a change in law. We have the asylum laws for this process, and those refugees ought to be able to utilize it.
And Logan, I'll tell you this also, and I know you and Will are tracking this, that the media, the lack of coverage on this with the major media has been unbelievable. And the fact is, we are going to work on the asylum matter immediately. That's the legal side of what we'll do when we're working on that, our government affairs office. But there's also the media side of that when, unfortunately, we have a large platform. But the quietness, the shutdown, if you will, on this has been breathtaking.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that quickly came and went off your news cycle, and I've seen more people just posting live from events than I have necessarily. And look, sometimes it feels with the last few years that maybe it is the protest and the demonstration of the week, because there's always something going on. There's always some reason. If you go to your downtown metropolitan area, there is always a reason that there's a group of people out there protesting. But when you're right is, while I was downtown a few weeks ago, you know, and you had your Free Palestine movement happening downtown, that got a lot of coverage, a lot of people talking. That's as much as it is very important. Obviously, it's Israel, it's the Palestinian people and the Israeli people. That obviously is something that's very important to us, the organization. That is across the ocean in the Middle East. This is 90 miles away. You know, something you can get in the car before you're practically done with this show. You could be there if this was a way we could drive. So much so that people feel a little helpless. And we saw that even last week, that the Coast Guard, I think, had to put out a statement saying, hey, Americans, quit taking your boats to Cuba, because people were just loading up their boats in Florida with supplies and going to Cuba, dropping off supplies and getting out of town. Now, obviously, we don't condone that. That's not legal. But the Coast Guard had to put out a statement saying, hey, you planning on going to Cuba? Don't, because you're going to go to jail for 10 years and a $25,000 fine. The government would actually step up and not leave it to people who have just boats in Florida, which happen to be a lot of people who are willing to go and support freedom. Maybe they wouldn't need that.
Well, I mean, think about this. If your boat went, you know, 30 knots an hour or 35 knots an hour, like you said, you're in Cuba in no time. So, but why isn't the United States turning on the internet? A real basic thing. Turn on the internet.
You brought that up.
The government shut it off, we can turn it on.
We're in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, we are.
There's
right
ways
there.
To make it happen.
We don't even have to do it remotely from southern Florida. We are in Guantanamo Bay on the island. That would be a simple thing to do. The president said the other day he was going to study that and see if there were anything that we could do. That's just crazy. It's tepid. It's lame. The administration needs to step up to the plate. They really do.
We're going to address this. I want our audience and our members to understand this. We're going to address this, as Stan said, at the governmental level. That is, we're going to communicate with the House and the Senate and let them know. We'll put this in writing, and we'll get our team on it. We're going to put out an asylum letter, what the asylum laws are in the United States, so that the Secretary of Homeland Security could get an education as to what the law actually is. So we will do the legal part and the governmental affairs part at the same time. But we are also going to cover this. And that's why we had our senior counsel, Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, on the broadcast today to let you know that we are addressing this from a policy perspective, a legal perspective, and a governmental perspective, because this is a Biden administration failure. It's a failure in Iran, where they're saying they're not going to sit back at the table if, in fact, there's going to be a nuclear capability limitation, which was the whole point of why they were supposedly doing this negotiation. And then in Cuba, the say-nothing policy, because some of your left members of your own party are in favor of this, points to the problem. And that's why we're taking action. But again, we got to see media coverage on this. I think it's vital.
Absolutely. Not only media coverage, I think we need coverage. We need people sharing. We need people talking about it. That's how mainly you can spread the word. And look, I'm a little disappointed in the fact that we've only gotten a couple phone calls today, because that means either you're not engaged or this isn't important to you, or you don't have, I mean, I have a feeling you got some questions. Because you don't have this kind of show. We talked to you about Cuba. We talked to you about big issues like Iran and how you can get involved and no one's given, you know, not that many people have called. You need to get engaged in what's happening globally. Obviously, like I said, we are engaged in what's happening locally. The ACLJ is at work. We have hundreds of lawyers in the field working on cases after cases. We saw, like I said, went through them yesterday, from big to small. Doesn't matter. We have those in pro bono. We're doing it for free. We're doing it for these people. No legal fees when you work with the AC, when you come and get represented by the ACLJ. But we can't do that again without the support of members of the ACLJ. It goes both ways. It works that, you know, that way. So it's aclj.org. You can not only donate, you can get all of the great content that our team puts out. We put out amazing content. And look, I'm not the one writing it, so I'm not just like puffing up my own material here. We're talking about blogs and articles every day, videos every day on all social media platforms, hundreds of thousands of people on our YouTube channel. There's a reason for that to happen, because we're putting out content that is top-notch, high-quality content also. So take a look at our website, aclj.org. Phone lines are lighting up. I wonder why. Maybe I got under your skin a little bit there. 1-800-684-3110, if you could even get in a phone call right now. We'll see. I appreciate it, though. I appreciate everyone who's right now on hold, because right now, you know that this is important. This is something that we should be talking about. You know that as Christians, as conservatives, not just a, you know, strict, you know, American social conservative, you know, this is what we do. No, we talk about the humanitarian efforts that go around the world. That's why we're here as well. So,
well, look at the religious freedom issue that's been so denied the people of Cuba, the churches. It's been unbelievable. There was a huge Christian community in Cuba. There is a large Jewish community in Cuba, and the suppression of these regimes on religious liberty are telling. And I think what Mike Pompeo said is, when you see a regime or a government flourish, usually that means going with that is religious liberty and religious freedom. That doesn't happen in Cuba. We can change that. So we need you to be part of our team at aclj.org. Really a good time to join with us.
That's right, aclj.org. We're going to take a lot of calls, hopefully coming up in the next segment, because our phone lines are jammed right now, but some will open up. 1-800-684-3110. Here's what I encourage you to do as well. As you said, go to aclj.org. Support the work of the ACLJ. If you're watching on any social media platform, if you're on Facebook right now or Twitter, share or retweet. If you're on YouTube, the best thing to do is subscribe and to give it a thumbs up if you're watching live or later on, because then more people will see this show. Again, we'll be back with your phone calls and more on Secular.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secular. We do have a bunch of calls coming in. I want to go ahead and lead off with some of those. Let's go to Ken, who's calling on line two. Ken, you're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call this morning. You said you needed more callers, so I called you.
Well, I appreciate it. Don't make me regret that statement. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm a little frustrated with sometimes the Republicans in Congress. I'm a lifelong conservative Republican. And I look at this situation going on in Cuba, and I look at what's going on at the border, okay, with all the immigrants coming in. And I go, why can't the Republicans put forward some kind of resolution in either the Senate or the House that would allow these Cubans that might come over here to receive asylum?
You raise a very interesting question, and the fact is, and Fan just alluded to this, it doesn't require a change of law to do that. I mean, that's the irony here. It doesn't require a change of law, Fan, for that to happen. Asylum proceedings could be implemented for those coming over from Cuba right now without changing the law at all.
Absolutely, and that's what makes it so suspicious that Secretary Mayorkas would proactively, Jay, tell people that if they come by boat, they're going to be turned away, when he knows good and well that the asylum process was created for refugees like this. And, you know, I think it's particularly rich that this is the first group of people, Jay, that suddenly he doesn't want to let in. I mean, look, I don't think it's necessarily unfair to characterize the Biden administration policy as one of essentially letting everyone in. So why would it be that a group of refugees that would be naturally applicable for the asylum process as is written in current law, doesn't take a new resolution. Jay, why is that the one that the secretary doesn't want in? And look, maybe I'm a cynic, but I think the political implications might be part of that. Cuban Americans do typically vote Republican, but look, you vote Republican, Democrat, or independent. If you have credible fear for your life, that's why the United States of America offers an asylum process, and they ought to be afforded it.
And like I said, and going to the caller's question, this doesn't require a change in the law to do this. This is the law now. It just has to be enforced, which we're going to work on. Logan?
All right, let's continue on. Take some more calls. Let's go to Roy in Utah. Roy, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Dan just hit on my point. You got Christian communities and Jewish communities there, and they're all holding our American flags. They're all pro-America. They come over and they get that asylum, become citizens, they're going to vote Republican. That's why the administration is so against us.
Yeah, you hate to think that. You hate to think that's really what it is, but nothing is surprising in Washington, D.C.
Well, you have the other issue, too, which is you've got members of the Democratic Party that call themselves socialists.
Oh, so we may have a clip.
Yeah, well, look good. If we do, let's play it.
Here's a clip from Bernie Sanders. This is him just talking about the protesters and how he hopes they're treated in Cuba.
And I urgently hope that the government there will tolerate and respect people's right to protest.
Yeah, he hopes they'll tolerate and respect protests.
But doesn't hope that the regime would be gone and democracy and freedom and liberty would be coming in its place.
Well, Cuba
Bernie Sanders
good
is a socialist.
What was it last year? I forget the exact quote. I have to pull it up, where he was like in the debates. It was like, hey, you know, they do maybe an interview around the debates. Hey, Cuba, they got some good things to we need to consider.
Well, and that's part of the problem that we're seeing with the media focus, is that some of the loudest voices that the media loves to get comment from are people like Bernie Sanders, AOC, who is blaming the United States for the condition of Cuba because of the embargo. So part of the problem of not getting the media attention on this is that the people they're going to for comment are a little bit sympathetic to the regime itself.
Which is another reason why it's very good that we at the American Center for Law and Justice are on, you know, almost 1,000 radio stations, on multiple social media platforms, and broadcast 5 days a week. Because, as I said, part of what we do is the policy. You know, today's been a heavy emphasis on policy. But you've seen on this program the merging of policy an action. We have a policy. We have a position. Asylum should be utilized for those coming in from Cuba. It's not. That is now the official Department of Homeland Security position. Asylum will not be utilized. So what do? We immediately activate twofold. One is we activate as it relates to the White House and then on to Congress and to the Department of Homeland Security. And I'd like to know, and I'm not saying we should do a FOIA on this, but maybe, why is it that the decision was made that when it came to Cuba, we were going to draw the line? Cuban refugees come to the United States. That's where we're going to say no asylum. Explain that to me. I'd like to know the rationale that went into that discussion.
All right, let's continue on. Take another call. Let's go to Linda in California on line one. Linda, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to state the situation in my own mind and psyche about this whole thing. Of course, I would admit the Cubans into our country and severe persecution they've been through. But I am so overwhelmed with coverage that I saw yesterday of the beating on our gates to get into our country and threatening, let me in, let me in. I deserve to be in there. And they're in Del Rio, Texas, they were just letting hundreds and hundreds of people, sure, 15 at a time. And these people were from Haiti and Ghana, and they were interviewed after they were let in. These were all young, single men, no families with them. And they were just letting more and more in. They said they were still crossing the river, and they had lines, hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah, I think there is.
They have no criteria for them.
Yeah, sure, Linda. I think that is a kind of moment you have to realize it and kind of have to start moving of what's justifiable asylum, what's not. That's a discussion we had, a discussion we're having currently, which is when does it become more than just someone trying to cross a border illegally? I know that it is kind of you hear, maybe you don't quite fully understand the differences, not necessarily you, Linda, but just everyone in general, because you hear, oh, we need to support the Cuban people, but then we're on the other side saying, hey, we need to protect our borders. So how do we reconcile that? And I'll go to my dad because he's got something to say.
Yeah, because but the law does reconcile it. I mean, the law is in place in the United States that we have an asylum process. So if someone is fleeing their country of origin because of oppression to them, because of their government, we have a process for asylum. Now, Wes is legally trained as well, and that process should be implemented. The problem is, Wes, the Homeland Security Director, decided he was going to draw the line in the sand as it relates to Cuban refugees coming in who are seeking asylum when we have an asylum law that would actually protect them.
Yeah, exactly. And it's crazy. But sometimes when the Biden administration and their officials like Secretary Mayorkas, when they should say something, they don't. And when they absolutely need to keep quiet, they make a statement like that. It's a chaotic system of policies by this administration. We really, really need changes. We need for them to rethink where they are on this.
Well, what we need to do is take action. And that's what we're doing at the American Center for Law and Justice at the ACLJ. And whether it's through this broadcast or whether it's through our government affairs outreach, where our lawyers are going to demand the asylum laws be followed in the United States. That's what we're going to demand. Your support of the ACLJ makes that happen. And we're in a matching challenge month. And you see all of it coming together here very nicely, Logan. Policy, action, legal, and also governmental, all at the same time.
Yep, and you can find out more information. Obviously, make your donation during our matching challenge right now in the month of July at aclj.org. Go there right now. Like I said, you can see all the great content we have. Make sure you're following us and staying in touch with us on social media. It's not just this 1 hour a day. We post content continually all day, so you can stay informed and keep your friends informed by sharing, liking, supporting, thumbs upping, and subscribing to all of the ACLJ content. Make sure you get ACLJ emails in your inbox pretty much every day. That's at aclj.org. And make your donation, and we'll be back here again tomorrow on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.